You are tuned in to the Grit and Bear It podcast, the first and only podcast devoted to covering the 12-time Calder Cup champions, the Hershey Bears. This is high energy, unfiltered, and at times unfocused hockey talk. Now here's your host, Richard Blosser.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grit and Bear It podcast. How is everyone doing? It is a Monday, March 25th. We're through the month of March already. Where does the time go? The season's running out. The sands of the hourglass are running out. I'm going to tell you, Bears fans, love, hug, and cherish whatever the season is left because you will miss it when it's gone. My name's Richard Blosser, welcoming you to the first and only Hershey Bears podcast out there in the podcast verse, as always presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Thank you so much to them. So, the boys this past week were heading on a road trip, which yours truly looked at the calendar back in July and went, ooh, I like that one. The boys are going to Cleveland, Ohio this weekend. That's right, everyone. Three and a half, that's Pittsburgh. Five hours west. Well, northwest, kind of. You just go to Pittsburgh and just kind of go north. But you know what I mean. Going to Cleveland, the Guardian City. They're at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, right next door to Progressive Field. It's not Progressive Field anymore. American and Family Insurance Field. Insert corporate name here, but whatever. The Bears are going to take on the Cleveland Monsters, a team that we haven't seen all the way since December. And I do enjoy these little back-to-backs in Cleveland this time of year. It's a nice way for Bear scheduling to go, oh, look, it's PIAA season. Yay! And out the door, they go for the weekend. Or Disney on Ice comes into town. That's a nice reason to get out the door. You see why. It's a nice pair of games that will take the boys out of town for whenever the schedule dictates it. So the Hershey Bears taking on the Cleveland Monsters in a team that has a lot of young talent on it, has some veterans there in Brandon Gauntz, but still a relatively young team. They're hanging around the top of the North. They have a really good prospect in Trey Fix-Wolanski, who should be in Columbus full-time, but that's not really my problem, is it? That's darn good tea. And the Bears are facing a Cleveland Monsters team that's kind of depleted, that doesn't have a lot of their regulars in it. How do I know this? Because Zach bludgeoned it into our heads all weekend. Love you, Zach. Mean it. Friend of the show, as always, but they have a lot of ECHL call-ups. Guys didn't get back in time to start in the lineup. And the Monsters don't really have their regular arsenal. And you know what I say to that? You'll have to listen to the end of the show for that. So we're out there in Cleveland on a Friday night. I'm at home. It's still freaking cold here. It's springtime, technically, here in Pennsylvania, but it's still freaking cold. Or as we call it in Pennsylvania, third winter. And I'm ready to settle in on a Friday, rough week at work. I'm ready to go. And Cleveland skates out in those beautiful blue jerseys that they have. They are delightful. They are beautiful. I want 10. And I'm listening to the broadcast. It's a television game. Bless the Fox crew for going out that far. Now, I really got to admit, this partnership between the Bears and Fox 43 is working out very, very well. They are willing to go to arenas when the budget and the logistics dictate it, and are really bringing some good exposure to Bears fans that can see this, you know, without having to shell out a lot to AHL TV. So really glad that fans can see other arenas like this without having to rely on that interwebs thing that people keep talking about. But I'm watching with the Monsters, and their logo is wearing a country hat on it. They're playing country music all night. Why are they doing this? Is this a new thing with Cleveland? Are they embracing a blue-collar country style? Even though they're a popular East Coast city? No, it's country night. Oh. How awkward. But we can't take this team lightly, ladies and gentlemen. We can't. The goaltenders tonight are Clay Stevenson and Corey Graves. I mean, Jet Graves. They're at the other end. Don't worry there, Jet. You'll get to Columbus someday. I believe in you. You will. And the two teams go at it, and the Bears just come out flying. Just letting it loose on Jet Graves, who's like, help! This isn't Syracuse! Help! They're not Syracuse! Fighting pucks away. And the other goaltender, that's Malcolm Subban. We'll get to him there in a little bit. Malcolm Subban's just sitting there on the bench going, need a hand, bro? And Bears forwards are just taking it to him. I'd feel sorry for him, but I don't this time of year. And the Bears just keep throwing it on him. Just let him at it. Riley Sutter from the circles throws one in. Kick save around. Matstrom collects the puck and throws it into the corner, and they score. Matstrom with the scoop, collect, and into the back of the net it goes. Matstrom is fifth. Riley Sutter is 12th. Vinny Iorio is 10th assist on the season. Good on him. And it's 1-0 Hershey. They're up on shots 6-2 to start. We're going to obliterate these guys. We are absolutely going to obliterate these guys. Guys, monsters. Dump the puck in. Around the board it goes. Clay Stevenson steps out from behind the net. I got it. Throws it. Just chips it back out right to number 23. But number 23 plays for the Monsters. Stephon Matteau steps in. Clay, get back in net. Throws one on net. Clay fights it off. Fights it off. Alex Whalen comes in. Cleans it up. And he scores. Clay! If you're a goaltender, tend the goal! Now, I know. We have people who listen to this show who do play goaltender and who do beer league goaltending and who have played goaltenders on minor league levels that they'll all come out to me and go, oh, well, we just try to help out. We're just trying to help out. Clay, read the situation. Okay, I can forgive this in November. But you can't make these types of mistakes now. It's Smarch. With lousy Smarch weather. You can't make these mistakes. Even a depleted team like Cleveland will take advantage of it. Alex Whalen gets his fifth. Stephon Matteau. Yes. That son of that Matteau gets his first assist and we're tied at one. Uncharacteristic mistake for the Bears. But you know what? I have faith in these guys. I have faith that we will be absolutely fine. And the Bears just keep going after Jet Graves. Just absolutely throwing anything they can at him. And they can just skate into the zone, through the neutral zone with ease. Into the slot, cross passes, drop passes, lining shots up for these guys. It is just absolutely unreal. And speaking of, Aaron Ness down low finds a wide open Pietrick Dubé who fires and he scores! Pietrick Dubé, he's heating up, boys and girls. That scoring touch that was there the first half of the season, it's starting to come back. Will he lead the league in scoring? Probably not. Hello, Adam Gaudette. But no, but he'll get that scoring touch going, hopefully for the postseason. Dubé gets his 25th. Aaron Ness is 18th. Lemos is 24th. Alex Lemos, 24. Are we looking at a 20-20 season for him? Perhaps. 2-1 Hershey. All right. This is the kind of stuff I like to see. Absolutely incredible out of the boys, but they're not not done yet. Cleveland starting to throw their weight around, pushing and shoving. Big hit there by the Bears bench, gets shoved down, and a fight's broken out. All right. Dylan Mickelrath's taking exception. Time for Daddy to come in and teach these boys a lesson. And it's Ryan Hoffer? Wait. Ryan Hoffer got into a fight. The kid. The rookie. Ryan Hoffer got into a fight. Sure. But stood his ground. Took some licks. Got a few punches in. And okay, Ryan, Okay. All right. Doing what you can to get noticed by fans and management. I can respect that. You haven't done much in your rookie season, but... All right. I can respect that. 5 minutes each. Down the tunnel you go. Off for fighting. And the boys, you know, they're playing well and, you know, things are going well. They're in the period form. Ethan Frank, gets tangled up there in the boards a little bit, comes off shaking his arm. All right. You know, really shaking his arm. And he's grimacing. He's in pain. No. No. Goes to the bench. Okay, let him sit down. He's going to be okay. And, he's going down the tunnel. No. No, we can't lose Ethan. We can't. We can't lose Ethan. No. Whatever we got to do to get him going. Maybe it's a stinger. It seems it was the forearm that got tangled up. It was a stinger. Four shifts later, he's back out. Good. Crisis averted. And how do we know? 3-on-2 rush for the Bears. Mike Gione leaves Joe Snively. Snively drops her. Ethan in the slot. Wrister and he scores a filthy wrister snipe on Graves, who just comes in and right on the corner, just picks the freaking corner. He's fine. Ethan's fine. For his 23rd of the season, Joe Snively, his 35th assist, Mike Vecchione, his 15th, 3-1 Hershey after one. 3-1. 3-1. I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be fine against this team. Into the second we go. And I tell you what, the Bears are playing some dominance, doing some real good stuff here. And while they weren't exactly, they're really playing well. And sometimes you just got to make your own luck. As the Bears get the puck on the near boards, throws it down out in front for Jimmy, who just walks off the corner, comes in front and falls down, but gets the shot off, and the puck goes, and Graves slides over to the right. I got it, but it hits a defenseman and goes left and into the net, and Jimmy Huntington scores. From his knees, from his butt, from whatever. Jimmy gets his 15th goal, unassisted, 4-1 Hershey. We are done here, and I got to give credit to some Monsters faithful. They are loud there. They really are. They love their hockey there in Cleveland. A healthy 11,000 were there. And how did I know they were loud? Because I could hear behind Zach on both nights, a guy I would say probably about 8 rows up from where Zach's broadcasting from, going, "Here we go, Monsters! Here we go! Here we go, Monsters! Here we go!" 2 or 3 times a period. Bless him. He's trying. He really is. And thank goodness I wasn't there, or else I would have just started going, "Here we go, Hershey! Here we go! I can do this crap too!" But you know what? You know what? No need for that. Don't be that guy on the road, because we might come back here during Memorial Day weekend. It's a possibility. So into the third we go. Bears start getting into some penalty trouble. Actually, they have been. They've already had 5 penalty kills this game. And it's all legit penalties. A cross check, a high stick, roughing, hooking, holding, high sticking. Probably saying bad words. But, you know, the Bears penalty kill's really good. Zach's told us they're 8-for-8 against them in the season series. They'll be fine. They really will. Until Jake Gaudette gets one past Hunter. Gets one past Clay, my bad. Past Clay to make it 4-2. And once you know it, I gotta go pick up the misses from States. Lovely. All right. We'll be fine. We'll be absolutely fine. 4-2 with 9 minutes to go. This isn't Wilkes-Barre. We'll be fine, right? As Jake Gaudette gets his 7th. 7th, Stefan Matteau and Owen Sillinger with the assists, but the Bears answer right back as Henrik Rybinski, wide open the slot, shoots, and he scores to reestablish the lead. Bears are up 5-2 as Henrik Rybinski gets one in for his fourth. Garrett Rowe gets his 13th. The middle six guys really coming through. All right, we're good. We're good. I'm just driving along. We're fine. We're going to be all right. What do you mean Tyler Angle just scored? No relation to Kurt Angle. And makes it 5-3 with what? 4.5 to go? This is a depleted team, guys. Can we kind of clean this up in the third here a little bit? I mean, I know, you know, we're playing really good. Can we just tighten things up a little bit? 3.5 minutes to go. Graves comes off. 6-on-5 for the Bears, who have done a pretty good job penalty killing tonight. 6-on-5, and wouldn't you know it, Dylan McElrath gets for a high stick. Nice job, Captain! I shouldn't. I really shouldn't. He goes off. 6-on-4 for Cleveland. 1:43 to go. And I gotta admit, the Bears played really good. Did what they always did. Clog the blue line. Keep guys back. Puck goes in. Puck goes out. Puck goes in. Comes back out. Sticks in lanes. Bodies in front. Shot blocking. Stellar defense from Todd Nelson and Patrick Weller, who have turned this penalty kill and a team that really can lock things down in the third. Mostly. But the Bears are able to get the puck out, chip it on ahead. Henrik Rybinski wants to get his second, but leaves it behind for his teammate as Bogdan Treniev gets the empty net, shorthanded goal, and it's a jailbreak goal for the Bears. Out comes Dylan McElrath. The captain's back out on the ice, and I'm forgetting this isn't the PWHL. Although, AHL, look into that. I'm just saying, look into it. I think there's something there. Bogdan Treniev gets his 9th. Rybinski gets his 9th. Lucas Johansson gets his 8th. 6-3, the Bears. Empty net, shorthanded goal. And that will do it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Cleveland. As Bears win it, 6-3 the final to get the win there on a Friday night in Cleveland. Great offensive output. Now, there's the offensive team that I've known and love and wish I would have seen more of in Charlotte. Oh, well. Anyway, I got one win out there. I shouldn't be too mad about that. And the Bears go 0-3 against Cleveland so far. Perfect 3-for-3. And this is what you do on a quick two-game set. You get the first game to set the tone for the weekend. Troy Mann taught that a lot, and I'm a big believer in that as well. But it'll be time for the rematch. They're on a Saturday night, and we'll get to that right after this. All right, Bears fans, the NHL game travels really fast and will travel a little extra faster this time of year as the playoff pushes on. We're circling the drain of the empty season, but that doesn't mean the gambling and betting action doesn't stop for you, and DraftKings Sportsbook will follow along with it all as the coolest game on earth, trademark, really ramps up for its hottest point of the year as playoff hockey looms on us. Folks, we are going to head into April, and this is the craziest time of year. Maybe this is the time of year where you bet on some lesser teams to spoil some playoff runs, or a dominant team that looks to make one last push to secure a division or secure a late run. And you could do it all at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN as new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Hockey League. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net or in New York, call 877-HOPE-NY or text HOPE. NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 days past insurance. See DKNG/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. And now, on with the show. And we're back here on the Grit and Barrett podcast. So, the Bears are back at it on a Saturday night to take on the Cleveland Monsters. As we got through their country night, so it's golf night there in Cleveland. Woo! Okay. And they have a special puck drop. It's Shooter McGavin, you know, that guy from Happy Gilmore. You know, that guy. You know, the villain from Happy Gilmore. You know, him. Everyone knows him. Everyone likes him. Yeah, he's out there for puck drop. And so the boys, they're at it. They're on a Saturday. And it's Hunter Shepherd versus Malcolm Subban. Yep. Was in Springfield. Was in St. Louis. Traded to Columbus. And now he's in Cleveland. Yay. Woo. I'm so glad he's going to get good playing time in Cleveland. Woo. And we go at it on a Saturday. The Bears make some lineup changes as Logan Day and Jake Massey come in. And Hardy and Preske are out. Not because they're injured, but we actually have extra bodies now. This is good on these lengthy trips. This is really going to help out in 2 weeks. So, here, this game was a typical Malcolm Subban game. And the Monsters, well, they actually tightened things up defensively. They're clogging up what they call the house area in front of the goaltender, which, going by the house drawings we all made as kids, that would mean the four points in the slot and the triangle that would go out to the point where the high slot marks would go up and converge on the point, like you're making the top of a triangle. Stay with me on this, folks. That is the house, what I'm thinking that it is. Now, maybe it's a house and they think that the face-off dots are the connector. You guys know what I mean. The point is, everything in the slot and the high slot is full of people. Fill that house. Get defenders in there. Get the centers in there. If the Bears players want to come in, fine. Which will make five bodies you want to shoot through if you want to get the puck on net. And the thing is, the Hershey Bears and Todd Nelson's game is low to high. Gain the puck down low on the forecheck, or is it back check? But anyway, get the puck on a dump and chase. Get it low. Get back out to the point. A forward plays high or a winger plays high, and you look for long shots or pucks that will get down low to the wingers there on the boards. But when you try to throw shots in on Malcolm Subban and there's like four or five players standing there in front of the net, it's rather hard to get pucks on net. And Malcolm Subban's making some great saves. He's making some really good saves. This is annoying. This is a team that's starting four ECHL forwards. They only have 12 forwards and six defensemen. We went through this crap. And we got murdered some nights because of it. So, after the first, nothing. Malcolm's playing great. Hunter Shepherd's playing great. It's annoying. Into the second, more of the same. Shots are 13-12 midway through the second. It's a tight defensive game. And who wants to see that? Late in the period, we go. Ryan Hoffer throws one to Matt Strome. Matt Strome there in that little corner area where the goal line is, just skates one out, throws one in on net, and it bounces in! It's in! It hit Subban's skate and did the hole, hits it, and goes 90 degrees right into the net. And Matt Strome gets his second goal of the weekend. Back-to-back opening goals for Stromer. His six. Hall for his second assist of the season. Wow. And it's 1-0 Hershey. And that's just it's a bad break for Cleveland, who was doing everything they can to hang in. It's a one goal game. This might be more what we might see them in May. Possibly. Maybe. But we head into the third. And this is really, really tightening up. And the Bears are finally getting some power plays going their way, because we took another five penalties in this game because, lol, of course we did. And, oh, look, Dylan Mikelrath got two more penalties in this game, which brings his weekend total to 8 minutes of penalty time throughout the weekend. Lovely. So Jacob Sobral goes off for interference. That's fine. And Owen Sillinger will go off for high sticking. 5-on-3 for the Bears. And you got to score here. You absolutely have to score on this. And it's 5-on-3. They get in. They get set up 40 seconds of this 5-on-3. And what do I always say in this? Bring it in, lads. Bring this in. 5-on-3, you don't have the time to F around. Finish him off. Snively, up to Frank. Fires, he scores! That's what I'm talking about. Ethan Frank with a missile. Off the stick and in the net. Ethan Frank is 24th. Joe Snively, his 36th. Pierrick Dubé, his 15th. The weapons show up on a 5-on-3 and get it home. 2-0 Hershey. And as I'm typing this out, the Bears still have another power play to get to. And the first line still out there. Ethan Frank to Snively. Feeds it across to Lemos, who deflects it into the net. They score! I didn't even get my score tweet out. Alex Lemos gets his 20th. Yep. We have a 20-and-20 season for Lemos and his beautiful hair. Another power play goal. Snively with another assist. Hit, making 37 for him. Ethan makes it. Gets his 15 assists. 3-0 Hershey. And the Bears, you can feel it. The tide's going their way. And Logan Day throws a crossing feed over to Snively. Winds, fires, and he scores! Joe Snively gets his 11th. Logan Day is 14th. 3 goals in 3 minutes. And they're already leaving. They're already leaving formerly known as Quicken Loans Arena, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, whatever it's called. They're all leaving. Enjoy your golf balls. Ha ha. Golf. So another late power play for the Bears as Owen Sillinger goes off for a slash. And the unit's out there. Logan Day's out there. Feeds it across to Ethan Frank over the wings. Gets it to Lemos, who deflects it into the net yet again. Lemos is 21st. Ethan is 16th. Day is 15th. 5-0 Hershey. And, you know, I actually saw this on Twitter. And I'm not sure if this is a troll job or whatever. But, you know, some monsters person said some class from Hershey putting their top power play unit against a bunch of ECHLers. Way to show class there, Hershey. And sorry about that. And I'm seeing this and I'm going, what the hell did you expect? This isn't football where you just run out the clock. That's not how this works. And you know what? You know, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to care. Nobody cares. All right? You're going through a bunch of injuries and call-ups. Welcome to what everyone else in the league goes through. This is what happens. And you know what? The games are still going to happen. Cope harder, Cleveland. Cope harder. Hashtag fear the depth my butt. Cope harder. Bears win it. 5-0 the final. Back-to-back shutouts for Hunter Shepard. And now Clay and Hunter with 11 shutouts on the season. Past the 15-16 squad of Philip Grubauer getting 6. Gosh, I had this. Give me a second. I know I have it. Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, I lost it. Well, we had 10. Justin Peters has 1. Grubauer had 6. And, oh, man, Dan Ellis? I think that was Dan Ellis had 3. Tell me down there in the comments over who else it was. But, yeah, 11 shutouts on the season. Well done, lads. Well done, Hunter. And the Bears get back-to-back wins there in Cleveland, outscore their opponents 11-3. Yes, I know they're depleted. If we play them in the Eastern Conference Finals, they'll be a much different team. Trey Fitzwilliamski will be down there. David Jarek will be there as well. And there'll be others. I'm fully aware we caught this team at their lowest. I'm fully aware of it. But you know what? Charlotte caught us at their lowest. Hartford caught us at our lowest. Nobody cares. Everyone's banged up. Everyone's got recalls. You know where your team stands. Deal with it. Cope. Whenever Columbus's season is done there, monsters, you'll get your boys back. And then roll the dice in the playoffs and see what happens. So let's check out the standings. As of the time of this podcast, the Bears are still in first place with 97 points at 46-11-0-5. And just so you know, Bears fans, the Bears, hold on. That the Bears have clinched a first round bye in the Calder Cup playoffs, which means the Bears cannot finish worse than second in the Atlantic. So we will not do any of that play-in or first-round nonsense, that whole best-of-three, quick-shot, week-long thing. We're not a part of that whatsoever. So once the season ends on the 15th, I think, we'll probably get a good week and a half off to heal up and prepare for whomever our opponent's going to be. In second place is the Providence Bruins at 78. They've got some games in hand against the Bears, and they're sitting at 78. Charlotte sitting in third with 72 points. They've been on a really good run throughout the month of March and are only 6 points back of Providence. So with now Providence has 2 games in hand. They could widen the gap between Charlotte, but Charlotte's there, just nipping at the heels. Wilkes-Barre sits in fourth with 71 points. They are battling with Charlotte right now. Fifth is Hartford with 67 points, but they are free-falling and fast. Lehigh, the Phantoms, are in sixth with 62 points. Springfield is in seventh with 61, and Bridgeport is in dead last with 51. We take a look at the North as Syracuse and Cleveland are both tied with 76 points, but Syracuse has a game in hand, so they leapfrog the Monsters. In third is the Marlies with 69 points. Same thing with Rochester, but again, the Marlies have a game in hand, so they are above the Amherst. Laval is in fifth with 66 points. So is the Senators, but Laval, I guess, owns tiebreakers over them, so they've leapfrogged Belleville, and the Utica Comets are in seventh with 63. So let's check out the playoff primer. This is as of Sunday morning, everyone. That, of course, the Bears are leading the division and are trying to get home ice throughout everything. Our magic number to clinch the division is 6. And in theory, boys and girls, at the time of this broadcast, if Providence loses on Sunday and we beat them on Tuesday, we take the Atlantic. That's the 6 points right there. The magic number to get the conference and everything is 13, so we will see where that goes. If the playoffs started today at the time of this podcast, of course, the Bears would be in first. Providence would be in second. And, oh, look, Charlotte and Lehigh in the first round. Again. With all three games in Charlotte. Again. Third straight year. And Wilkes-Barre versus Hartford. With most likely all three games in Wilkes-Barre. But maybe they could do a 1-1. 1-1-1. Maybe. Out there in the north, the play-in round would be Rochester and Laval. Ooh. Syracuse getting the bye. And Cleveland and Toronto in the 2-3 matchup. So juicy matchups as we've got a lot more hockey to be played. So Bears fans, stay on it. It's going to be a fun couple weeks coming up. So that'll do it for the Grit and Barrett podcast this week. Just so everyone knows, the Iowa weekend, next weekend, I will be in WrestleMania there at Philadelphia. So the podcast will be delayed in getting out a day. So it'll probably drop that Tuesday, April 9th, as opposed to its usual Monday slot. I'll keep you guys updated as we go along. But this coming week, Bears fans, we have a game on Tuesday against Providence. It's Mike Vecchione bobblehead night, so get ready for people getting bobbleheads and the rest of Bears fans bitching and complaining because they didn't get one. Lol. We'll be against Providence, 7 o'clock start there at Giant Center, and Saturday we'll be in Hartford, Connecticut to take on the Wolfpack, and that's the only game that weekend. So that's it. That's the only one. And then the following week, another Tuesday game as we will take on, hold on a second. I want to say Lehigh for some reason. I think it's the Phantoms we take on that day. April 2nd. Yeah, it's the Phantoms. Tuesday night game. A truly takeover Tuesday in a Hershey Park pass night. Yay! But as I said at the beginning of the show, everyone, love, hug, and cherish whatever the season we got left, because we got 10 games left in the regular season, and then it's all playoffs after that. You don't know when that's going to end, but we'll deal with that when the time comes. So thank you for listening to the Grit and Barrett podcast this week. Thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. And to everyone else, enjoy the ride, everyone, because the season's coming to an end. And then the roller coaster as the playoffs will begin. But as always, go Bears, and I'll catch you next time.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Grit and Barrett podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are currently listening to. If you are listening on Apple or Google, please leave us a 5-star review as it appeases our algorithm overlords. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the Hockey Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for each and every NHL team. We also cover the American Hockey League. They have a podcast about college hockey and all the ins and outs of the hockey world. If you wish to know more about our parent club, please check out the official Caps Chirps podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, as they cover all things Washington Capitals. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. That's at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to the memory of Patricia Blosser, who passed away on December 5th, 2020, to dementia and COVID. The show is also dedicated to all of the Hershey Bears friends, fans, and family who lost their lives to cancer. Cancer sucks. Thank you once again for listening to the Grit and Barrett podcast, and go Bears.